Hey, we're so glad you're here this morning. My name is Pastor Brian, and I'm the lead pastor here at Fairlawn, and we're glad that you've joined us today. Good to have our elementary kids in service with us today. Normally, we have activities for them, but we like every so often to have them in here with us this morning, and so we're glad that you're here today. I want to ask you a question. Maybe some of the kids can answer this as well. You remember the first time you ever did this? I remember for me, it was my mom. I didn't know how to swim, and so the city pool in Greenville, well, they were doing swim lessons, and so I went. I was about five, I guess, probably, and so I went for swim lessons, and there were about, I don't know, about 30 kids in my class or so, and I can still remember the day as we got towards the end of the week. One of the things they did with us before the end of the week was take us down to the end of the pool and jump off the diving board. Now, I really didn't think much about it, being me. I was, you know, all the kids lined up in line, all 30 of us, and I was back towards the back of the line and wasn't paying attention. And I was talking, if you can imagine that. And so, horsing around back there, I wasn't thinking too much about it. And then all of a sudden, it came my turn to climb up onto the diving board. And it had a little two or three step ladder, you know, climbed out onto the diving board. And then I looked at the end of the diving board as I walked out, and it was probably only 3 or 4 feet off of the water, but it seemed like it was a mile and a half. You know what I mean? You remember that first time when you're little and you go and you jump off the diving board? And so I got out there, and, you know, I got kind of queasy, and my head was, I was kind of getting a little, you know, dizzy from nervousness and everything else. It was kind of crazy, and I was really scared. And so I thought, you know what? I mean, I thought if I jump in there, I'm going to drown, because I just this week have taken swimming lessons, and the only stroke I know is the dog paddle, right? I mean, just, you know, I just knew, you know, and at that time, as I didn't know that fat floated, and so I thought, I'm just going to go down, sink straight to the bottom. Little did I know, I would have popped up and brrr. But so I started back, right? I'm not going to jump off of that. Are you crazy? When all the kids behind me were like impatient, and they all started going, jump, 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 jump. And they might have been, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself. I mean, that's what I heard anyway. And so I turn around, because they weren't going to let me off, and they wanted their turn. And so I headed off the end of the pool, and I jumped. And I didn't drown. I'm here. I didn't die. I didn't pass out. However, I did open my mouth as I got into the water and swallowed about half the pool. But got over to the edge, and then you know what I did, right? I went and got back in line, man. I went like 4 or 5 times before they swim class was over, and my mom came to pick me up, because once I did it, I realized how much fun it was. Sometimes you never know about something until you just jump in, till you just take the plunge, when you just have enough courage to just get off the end of the board. I learned a couple of other things about diving through the years. One is that it's very smart for you to kind of figure out what kind of dive you're going to do before you're in midair. Because you see these kids, they've all got different techniques going on. Maybe you identify with some of them. Maybe you're the one who thinks, safety first, I'm wearing my life vest. And, you know, this kid, that's going to hurt right there, right? That kid's headed for it. It's very important to figure out how you're going to jump in, whether you're just going to, you know, you do a flip, or you're just going to go straight in, are you going to hold your nose, or you're not? Or some people, show this next slide, some people do that. Yeah, I would not want to be sitting on the edge of the pool there, but good old belly buster, man. I've done those accidentally. But I remember as a kid, for a long time, right, when you start jumping off the diving board, you try different things, right? You try a flip. I remember the first time I tried a flip, I overflipped, actually, landed on my face. Water was like concrete. I've gone in at odd angles where, you know, like doing something, and I've done that belly buster that's really hurt. It's important to figure out what you're going to do before you jump in. Another thing is you need to experiment with different kinds of boards and things. This next picture, this was the Recplex in St. Peter's. Luann and I were members there for a while. It was a big recreation center in our county where we lived in St. Louis, and the Recplex had everything. I mean, they had wall climbing. Of course, they had ice hockey. They had all kinds of stuff. They had a great natatorium and a place to, as a matter of fact, the U.S. Olympic team held their trials one year at this place. And you see there, they had different kinds of boards to jump off of, different heights. And then they had the platforms, right? And in Olympic diving, a lot of those platforms were set. I was trying to remember this week, it was like 16 feet and like 25 feet. And then the highest one's like 33 feet. I climbed one time all the way up to the top one there, 33 feet, looked down at the water, turned around and went right back down the stairs because ain't no way I was doing that. Can you imagine the tidal wave if I'd have jumped from 33 feet and this body hit the water? So anyway, I decided not to do that. But you got to decide. So you got to try different heights and different ways that you can get into the water, and jump's very important as well. Some people love to go 33 feet up in the air and jump, and some of us just like to just jump off the side of the pool. But you got to figure that out. We're in this series called The Tipping Point, and a tipping point is here's our definition for it: the critical point in a situation, process, or system beyond which a significant and often unstoppable effect or change takes place. And we've been talking about how the resurrection of Jesus is a tipping point. Not only in the world, not only when it comes to history, but it is a tipping point for us as Christians. It changed everything, the resurrection did. We sung about it this morning with Pastor Jeremy. I told Pastor Jeremy he really needs to show a little more emotion while he worships, doesn't he? But I appreciate our praise team. I appreciate Pastor Jeremy and them taking us into the throne room of God. But we sung that song this morning that reminded us that it's all about the resurrection. It's all about the resurrection of Jesus. He is raised from the dead, and that has changed. It's changed the way that we view death, right? We may experience death, but we have hope of everlasting life because Jesus was raised from the dead, and one day we will be too. We talked about how Pastor Jeremy alluded to it today, how we're in struggles and when we have stuff going on in our life that's really difficult and hard, that same resurrection power that raised him from the dead lives inside us, and it gives us a solid place to stand when storms around you are going everywhere, where everything's trying to knock you off your feet. It gives us a place to stand. Because that same resurrection power lives inside of us. We've talked about how it inspires us, right? We've talked about how the resurrection is the tipping point when it comes to our worship. We've talked last week about how it's the resurrection is the tipping point for us serving one another and how we all should be involved in service. And by the way, if you didn't get a chance to sign up last week and you have some place that God's calling you to serve in the life of our church, there's still opportunity to do that. You just need to let us know. If you missed any of those, you can go to our webpage or wherever to watch them. But the resurrection is also the tipping point when it comes to how we relate to our community. A couple of our values here at Fairlawn I want you to look at. First of all, we have a value of community. The desire to reach out to the people who live within driving distance of our church, our neighbors, those that live around us, those we work with, those we go to school with. You've never looked into the eyes of a person for whom God did not care. You realize that? If you were here at Block Party yesterday, you didn't look into the eyes of any one person that God does not care about. We exist to show Christ's love everywhere, everywhere we are in daily life, by living as an example, showing grace, extending mercy, providing relevant help to those who need it. And we commit to doing whatever it takes to reach as many as possible with the love of God. And then we have another value, restoration, a desire to see every brokenness in our lives to be healed and made whole. In a broken world, we will seek God for full restoration of what? Our community. People that are around us, the neighborhoods that are around us. We invite him to renew our minds and restore us relationally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we're committed to discipleship that heals the whole person and grows us to be like Jesus. Community, relationship, those two things are very important. And the resurrection is the tipping point for us, speaks into our lives about how we should do that. Now listen, I think when we think of those two values, probably one of the first things, one of the first ways that we think we can identify with that value and live that value out is to invite people to come to church. We invite them to come to a community group. Invite them to come to an event that we have or something like that. I think that's probably the first way that we primarily, and we should. We should invite them to be a part of our worship. We should invite them to come and be a part of our community group that, and meet our friends and people that we're doing life with. We should invite them to come to things like the block party yesterday. But that is only a small piece of what it means to live in community and to live in restoration. Because healing and wholeness and restoration don't just happen within the confines of these four walls or at the corner of 8th and Fairlawn. Restoration, brokenness, and healing happen out there as well. It's not just, hey, come and see, be a part. Yeah, that's part of it, but it's not all of it. Many of us are only here for this hour and 15 minutes that we spend in worship. Some of us came earlier at 9:15, so, you know, we could be a part of our community group. So maybe some of us are here around 2.5 hours a week. What about the other 165 hours and 30 minutes of the week? Do we just shelve those values and say, well, we're not together as a church right now, and there's no services going on, there's not a Bible study for me to go to. So community and restoration, that's for then. No, that's for the whole week. That's for living our lives out there. That's for being engaged and involved in the world in which we're in. Are we not engaged in helping restore our broken hearts, broken lives, broken world out there in the midst of the world? If our desire is to reach out with the love of Christ and show grace and extend mercy and provide help to those who need it, we just can't do it for an hour or two with one another. But we've got to do it tomorrow when we're at work, and tomorrow when we're at school, and tomorrow and today when we're in the neighborhood and we're in the community. We've got to do it then, because that's where it's going to happen. It's not just for in here. It's not just for this place. It is who we are as a people. We don't come together to do community. We are community. We don't come together to do restoration. God uses us to help go restore the world. We become the hands and the feet of Jesus. You know, we believe right here, and it's on your bulletin this morning, our vision. You know, we believe that here at FNC, we always say we're bringing the kingdom to light in our community, our neighborhood, our city, our workplace. What that means is that we believe that God's working in the world right now. I mean, we're all here and we're talking to him and we believe he's in this place and he's working today and we sense his presence and we sense his power. But guess what? God's not limited to this place. He's working right now. I think sometimes we think that God, he's at church and so he's forgotten all the pagans this morning. No, he's not forgotten your neighbors. He's out there working and moving in their lives right now, all the time, through all kinds of circumstances. And he wants us to be his hands and his feet to put flesh and bone to the spirit that is at work in the world. He partners with you and I, and he wants us to bring attention to his love, to his grace, his provision, by going and loving and giving and helping in his name. We're to declare to the world through our hands and our feet and our lives and our attitudes and our words that he is working in and around people. He wants to use us to be the answer to somebody's prayers. Somebody's prayed a prayer and talked to him this week who's been in need, and he wants us to go and be the answer. He wants to use us. That's why we partner with him. It's not all up to us to save the world. He's the one going to save the world, but he lets us come and help. He lets us come and be with him and help him and engage. He wants us to give words of kindness and forgiveness and grace that somebody needs to hear. He wants us to put an arm around somebody who needs to encouragement. He wants us to demonstrate mercy and love through physical actions. I'm going to ask Dan and Janet Golightly to come up this morning and join me up here. I got a stool for both of you. So God's laid it on their heart to help us get more engaged in our community outside of our church. And, you know, we have several people in our church who are involved in helping ministries in our community. You guys just have a seat. You know, I know Kathy Butler's very involved with Doorstep Ministries. Patty Rainier has been involved with Mary's Choice that helps people with unexpected pregnancies. Steve and Mary Ships have been engaged with the Rescue Mission. There's just a lot of us are involved in different helping organizations in the community, which is awesome. We all should find some places to serve within the life of our community to help others. But the question for us here at Fairlawn is, how can we help people engage? How can we as a church find more effective ways for us together to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in impacting our community? How can we help with restoration and healing? How can we bring wholeness to our community outside of these four walls? And, you know, how can we just be Jesus in the world together? It's good to be a part of all these other places, but we want to help everybody become an agent for change in our community. And so, Dan and Janet, who wants to talk first? I'm going to give it to the boss. They came and talked to me a little while ago and said that God had laid something on them heart to help us on their hearts to help us with this. Dan, you want to talk about that for a minute, about just what God's laid on y'all's heart to?
Yeah, Janet had this idea. She had this idea. She came up with this idea a while back about doing something for the community. Like Pastor's been talking about, instead of just being here at the church, going out and doing something for the community. So we've got involved in a lot of different volunteer things that we can go out and do. So what we want to do is we want to kind of have, not where we meet at the church, but we meet at different places. I went and had a meeting with Habitat for Humanity the other day. They're building a brand new house. They want a whole bunch of churches to get involved. It's going to be a really awesome thing. There's a whole bunch of things we could talk about that. This has got me really excited. Do you want me to talk about things we're going to?
Well, if you want to.
Stopping.
Go ahead.
We want to get this drive-through prayer thing going. We're like on Fridays. One Friday a month, we do a drive-through prayer. We sit up out here in the parking lot for an hour and a half or whatever. We'll put signs up. Janice already got signs made where people can just drive through. And they stop and they tell us what their problems is, and we pray with them and stuff. And what we don't want it to be our ideas. So what we want is we're going to have a meeting Tuesday. Tuesday we're going to have a meeting. What time?
7.
7 o'clock Tuesday.
You need to give her the mic, man.
So what we're going to do is if you guys have ideas that we could do in the community, bring them. And so it might not work like you may not want to go and be in a drive-through prayer service, but you might want to help build a house, or you might want to help go clean somebody's gutters out or something like that. So bring your ideas, and so we can put them all together, and then it might be this group going and doing this, then we'll go with this group to go do this, and so.
For you, what struck a nerve for, why this? Why? What was the desire that you had that you felt like we needed to do this?
I just think I've always wanted to be, I like it when the church goes out, and I've always enjoyed, you know, when we do the block parties and things like that, and I've just always wanted to be part of a Habitat for Humanity build. I was like, that would just be so awesome, and, you know, just, like you said, we need to be the hands and feet of Christ and not sitting here and talking about it, but we need to be about it. That's what my kids always say. Don't talk about it, be about it, and so we just, you know, had all of these ideas and things, and also we want to get to know each other and just have it family friendly and have events where we just go have a cookout or something and just get to know each other and just kind of get out of these four walls.
Good. Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, room 103, right? Awesome. Thank you guys. Give them a hand for... Now, if you're interested in that, that's great. If you're interested and you can't make the meeting on Tuesday, this is going to be a community group in the sense that this is what they're going to gather around and rally around. There's not going to be necessarily right now regular meetings or anything, so it's a little different than some of our other community groups. But the focus is going to be on getting engaged in our community, reaching out and going places and helping people and doing things. And we want to give you that. There's lots of different ways that you can do that, and so I encourage you to be there Tuesday. If you can't, put on your communication card that you're interested, and you can drop it off at the welcome desk on your way out this morning. Then you say, but Pastor, you've not mentioned the Bible yet. So let me take you to Scripture for just a minute. Acts chapter 3. I want to share you a story. And again, you know, as we're looking at all these ways that the resurrection, you know, makes a difference, it's a tipping point in our life. I want to show you how it was a tipping point in Peter and John's life. And I want to talk to you for just a minute about how it can be in ours. They lived these two values out. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. This is just after Pentecost and just after the church, 3,000. Peter preached on that day and 3,000 came to the Lord. And the very next day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon, which was kind of a normal time to be going up for worship. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day. This man made this a regular thing, to beg from those going into the temple courts. Been doing it a long time. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something for them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. They recognized him as the same man who used to be sitting at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" And then he launches into this little sermonette about Jesus and about how it's not my power, it's God's power. It's not my power, it's that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. As a matter of fact, in Acts, at the end of the chapter, I didn't get this on the screen, but as he's preaching and telling about this, he says in verse 16, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this man complete healing to him, as you all can see. It's about Jesus. It's about what happened to him. It's that same resurrection power. And there are a couple of things as we think about bringing the kingdom to light in our community, as we think about being the hands and feet of Jesus, as we think about partnering with him to impact people's lives out in the world, there's a couple of things that we notice here that we need to think about as well. First of all, I want you to notice that they had to see this man through the eyes of God. They had to see him through the eyes of God, and we have to see people through God's eyes. Acts tells us that this man had been coming to the same spot for years. And I dimes to donuts, I don't believe this was the first time that John and Peter had ever seen him. They'd been to that temple many times, sometimes with Jesus. And I'm sure many times they'd walked past this man. They'd probably heard him ask for money because he came. They brought him every day. Every day he was in the temple. But today, something was different. Today, this time, filled with the Spirit after Pentecost, they saw him with fresh eyes. They saw him differently after the resurrection of Jesus than they saw him before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You ever been to a 3D movie and you put on the glasses? Have you ever been sitting in a 3D movie without the glasses? It is fuzzy and furry and it doesn't look right. It's all distorted, but when you put the glasses on, man, it's clear as a bell. Matter of fact, they throw things and you think they're coming at your head. You know what I mean? I've been in a movie theater with 3D glasses on and had to go start ducking a little bit. And because it's so real and lifelike. Listen, this is what happened to the disciples. When the Holy Spirit filled their lives and they began to see him, this man that they had seen probably many times before, when they saw him this time, they saw him in a different way. They saw him with a new clarity. They saw what his need was. They saw that God wanted to partner with them, with Peter and John, to change this man's life. That God gave them a vision of what his life could be. That God gave them a vision that he wanted to heal them. That God gave him a vision that would give him hope. That if they would give him what they had, his Holy Spirit, that it could restore him. Here's the problem with us so many times. When we see people with needs, do you know what we tend to do? We tend to see them through human eyes, or we tend to see them through other glasses we have on. Sometimes we look at the poor and we see them through our Fox News glasses. And we see them a very different way. Or, let me pick on everybody, or we see them through our CNBC glasses. And we see people in need in a very different way. But when you, what we got to do is, we see them through our own suffering, our own life. We see them through our own experiences. God doesn't call us to see people through our eyes. He calls us to see people through His eyes. Because when we see people through His eyes, we see not what is this, what do they want out of me and what's that going to cost me, but we begin to see them for what God can do. We begin to see how God can change their life. We begin to see what, we have a vision for what God could do if they ever got a hold of it, if we could just give them what we have. How do you see people? Do you see people? What glasses are you wearing? What lens do you see people? Are you looking at them through God's eyes? Because often God sees people very differently than I do. I see how they irritate me, annoy me. Maybe I see them out of my lenses of politics, or I see them out of the lenses of economics. And I make judgments based on that. You know you do. We do that. But if we could begin to see what God could do. This isn't in the sermon, so bear with me in the booth. One of the churches that I was at, we had a lady, we had two church vans, right? And on one church van, we went and got the elderly ladies in the church. And on the other van, we had a lady in our church who had come from a broken home, broken circumstances, and God just gave her a vision for reaching all these kids in broken families with the love of Jesus. And so she did. She'd call on them during the week, just like you would do. You know, this was real big in the 70s in the church. And then she ran a route, and she picked up all these kids. Sometimes she picked up so many kids, we had a 15-passenger van, and she would come, and we'd squeeze about 18 kids in there. I hope there's no lawsuits pending. And squeeze 18 kids in there. She'd come drop them off and go out and get some more. And I remember one day we had to have a board meeting. You know why? Because we were picking up African-American kids. I remember another. We had a little white kid named Chase. ADHD. Listen, he's the definition of the word, man. This kid was lit, man. And I remember at one point we had to have another board meeting because after I told them we're picking up anybody, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in God's sight. I almost sang to them. That will kill the meeting, But I remember we had to have a board meeting about Chase because Chase was so unruly at church. They didn't want him to be coming anymore. And by the way, the reason we had two vans is we didn't want to disturb the elderly people on the one van with all the kiddos. So, Chase, they wanted to quit picking him up. And I said, here's the thing they didn't know. I talked to the lady who ran it. I talked to her. I'd been with her. I'd been in his home. I'd been in Chase. His name was Chase, and he lived up to it. And so I remember I visited with Chase's mom, and it was awful. She would go out overnight and leave. He's in fourth grade, and she would leave him at home overnight by himself. When she did get somebody to babysit him, she would often go to an uncle of his. The uncle was one of the town drunks. And he literally would take Chase to the bar with him and make Chase sit over in the corner and read a book. And I remember talking to her about him, and she said, Pastor, I just can't. If we let go of Chase, because I know what Chase is. I know what Chase is doing. I know what he's like. But I'm telling you, Pastor, I see what Chase can be. I can't let go of him. And I said, you don't have to. So I don't know what song I sung at that board meeting, but that ended that too. We kept picking up Chase. And I have no idea. I'd love to know where Chase is today. It'd make a great story, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is this woman who saw him through the eyes of God, while a bunch of other people viewed him through some other glasses that did not matter. Let me ask you something. How are you viewing your world? Do you see it through the eyes of God, Are you seeing it through the eyes of politics? Are you seeing it through the eyes of economics? Are you seeing it through the eyes of whatever, you know, social media says? How do you view people? Do you see them for what they are, or do you see them for what they can be? Through the grace and the power and the might of God. Man, we got to look at our world different. We got to change our glasses. That's why that video today, whose problem is it? Hey, doesn't matter whose it is. It's, are we going to let God change it? I got to move on. Secondly, here's another thing. You have to offer what you have. This guy wanted money, right? Peter didn't have that. So he said, but I'll give you what I have. What did Peter have? He had the Holy Spirit. I'll give you that. You know, you can't give something you don't have, but it doesn't mean you don't have something to give. You can't give something you don't have, but it doesn't mean you don't have something to give. You may not have money, but you could give your time. You may not have money, but you can give your presence, your attention. Sometimes people just want to know you care. You may not be able to provide a roof over someone's head who is homeless, but you could go and spend an hour on a build to help others together, Habitat, build a house to change somebody's life radically. You say, well, Pastor, I can't hammer. Well, can you cook? Because last I've seen, there's a lot of people hungry in our world. Can't cook? Maybe you can pray. All of us can listen. All of us can encourage. All of us have something to give. All of us can do something to let someone know that God has not forgotten them, that God cares about them, and that God loves them, and that he is still working. What do you think it means to bring the kingdom to light? It means to go in our community and let people know you are not alone. God still cares about you. God still loves you. Whatever I've got, however God wants to use me in that, here's what I'll give. What do you got to give? How's God blessed you in order to bless the world? And then let me tell you the last thing. You have to give God the credit. This isn't about building up your ego, your name, your brand. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus and giving glory to God, calling attention to him and not us. Peter said to them, why does this surprise you? Why are you guys shocked? Why are you looking at us? It's not the power, and I loved what he says, it's not the power, it's not our power or our godliness. Do you know what he was saying? This isn't about because we're good. Sometimes we do things for other people to make us feel better, to make us feel right. I had a, when I was in, I need to be careful because we're on video now. I had a job one time. And I remember our boss, he was a good guy, but I was in seminary. And so everybody knew I was going to be a pastor. And I loved my boss, but I know, and he tried, you know, I remember him coming to get me a couple of times. I ran the warehouse at this company. And I remember him coming to get me. He had, we always had people come through who needed help. And so what he would do is he would have somebody sweep the parking lot or pick up some trash around, and then he would give them some money. And he would come and get me. And he would say, see that guy over there? He said, I'm giving him $20 to sweep the parking lot. And I would just look at him. And it took me a few times of him doing that to actually figure it out. He was wanting me to say, good job, gold star, extra brick in heaven. We don't do it for that, do we? I mean, Jesus said, if you're going to do it for that, if you're doing it for the praise and glory of men, you'll get your reward here. We do it not to draw attention to ourselves, but to him. It's not that we're more righteous. This isn't about Fairlawn. This isn't about our reputation. This isn't to look and say, look what we did. Look how godly we are. Look how good we are. Nope. This is about him, and this is about the resurrection. And that's what Peter says a little bit later on. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Peter used all this to say, it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ raised from the dead. That's why that just happened. Not about me, not about us. It's all about him. And everything we do ought to point back to that one point. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, and one day I will be too. And Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, and as we're ministering to people, loving on people, being the hands and feet of Jesus, it's a way of saying to them, hey, that same resurrection power that's available to you, it'll get you through this problem. It'll get you through this stress. It'll get you through this circumstance. It'll get you through this bad patch in your life. That the God who raised Jesus from the dead can raise you up just like he's done me. It's all for his glory and for his honor. It's not about me. One time I went through the drive-thru and a lady gave me too much money. And so I went back and said, hey, she gave me 10 bucks extra. I thought, I'll go eat twice now, you know. But went back through the drive-thru, I gave her the $10, and she said, well, wow, you're really a good person, because most person wouldn't do that. And I just checked in my spirit, and I just went, nah. I said, believe me, I'm a horrible person. I said, I'm here because Jesus Christ has changed my life. And I said, that's the only reason I came to return this. Because of Jesus. And I drove off. I didn't want the credit. We don't want the credit. And I'm not bragging on what I did. What I'm saying is we always ought to point to him and who he is and what he's done. That's the tipping points. So let me ask you, what makes us go out into our community and become the hands and feet of Jesus? What motivates us to restore that which is broken? What moves us to share his love and his grace and his mercy and compassion with the world around us? Why go out and make the world aware that God has not forgotten them, that he loves them and that he cares about them right where they are in the middle of their circumstances? Why go out and bring the kingdom to light? Because of who he is and because of what he's done in us. That's why. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can overcome grief, and he can overcome pain and brokenness. If it raised him from the grave and it raises us, it'll raise up them as well. But you got to be willing to jump in. This is the first time we see the disciples healing somebody. Well, Jesus had sent them out, the 72, and they had gone out in pairs, and they'd seen great things happen. People had been healed. But this is the first time since Jesus is gone now that they actually go out and they're healing people. And I have to wonder if Peter, sitting there that day, you know, he tells the guy, look at me. And I'm sure in his head he's thinking through all the techniques he'd send Jesus use to heal people. But this had to be. He was putting it out on the line. And what, gold or silver, but what I have, be healed. He had to be nervous. But he jumped in. And when he jumped in, God did an incredible thing. I'm wondering how many things in your community, how many things in our world, in your school, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, is God just waiting for you to jump off the end of the board? Are you willing to dive in? Are you willing to jump? Now listen to me, just like our diving board illustration, there's a couple of things you got to do. It's important to figure out how you're going to jump. Wah! How are you going to jump in? Maybe you start by praying for God to put his glasses on you so you can start to see the world the way he sees it. Maybe you need to figure out what it is you have to offer. What's God given you to give? God, what do I have that you could use in my world this week to make a difference in somebody's life, to answer somebody's prayer? It's important to try different boards and platforms. Don't start at 33 feet, okay? If you'll just jump off the edge this week, I'll be happy. Just start small. That's the great thing about the community group that Dan and Janet are doing, is that they're going to try there's all kinds of things. Go to that meeting on Tuesday night, or share with them later if you can, and talk to them. There'll be all kinds of opportunities that'll come out of this. But the important, figure out a way to jump in. Find a board, a platform from which to practice. Kathy's is Doorstep, and Steve's is the Rescue Mission. And the Christian in Action community, CIA, did you get that, CIA? It's going to have different boards for you to try. And, of course, you've got to decide your motivation. Am I doing this because Pastor guilted me? Am I doing it for my out of my power, my glory? Am I doing it to make me feel better? Or am I going to do it because I love Jesus? Do I do it because I love him? Do I do it because I know that God has called me to be his hands and his feet in my broken world? And somebody's out there crying for help. Somebody out there is crying out for God to make a difference in their lives. And what God's waiting on is for you, for your hands, your feet, your voice, your arm to slip up alongside them to encourage them. He's waiting for us to be engaged. He's waiting for us to jump so that lives can be changed and the world can be different. I believe this week God's got divine appointments for you. I believe this week that he's got some prayers that he wants to answer through your lives. Question for you this morning is, are you going to jump? I wish I could send you all out with a recording on your phone this week so that when you're nervous about jumping out into it, it'd be that jump, jump, jump. But I do pray that God's Holy Spirit will speak to you this week and you will hear him and respond. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, sometimes when we watch the news, Lord, or we read the newspaper, the world's just so big and there are so many needs and there are so many hurting people and it just seems like it's too much for us. And you know what, God, it is. But sometimes, Lord, we get paralyzed. Sometimes in our lives, we don't jump because we're scared or we're afraid or we don't know if it'll make a difference. God, I pray for your people this morning. Lord, will you use us? Give us the courage to trust you and the courage to jump. Help us, Father, to see the world through your eyes. God, not to see them through just my experiences or to see them through the media or to see them through all the noise in our world. But God, I want to see people the way you see them. I want to really hear the cries. And I really want to sense the pain and know that you care about people. God, give us compassion. Lord, to go out into our world and be the answer to somebody's prayer. To go out into our world and be your hands and your feet. That we might go out into the world and be the incarnation of Christ. In meeting the needs of people who are around us. To your glory and to your honor. Help us see people through your eyes. Help us to be willing to give whatever it is we have. Whatever it is you've blessed us with. God, this morning, use me. Use me to make a difference in this world. Use me to make a difference at school. Use me to make a difference in my workplace, my neighborhood. When I'm out about in the world, God, use me. Here I am. Send me. I'm yours. And God, may we bring glory and honor to your name as we bring the kingdom to light in our community. May we point them to Jesus. It's not about us and it's not about our goodness. It's about you. God, I pray, use us to make a difference in our world this week. Transform Topeka through us. Transform my workplace. Transform my school. Transform my family. Transform my neighborhood. In the name of Jesus, God, we just give ourselves to you for that this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this week, I hope if you go to Janet and Dan's meeting on Tuesday night and be a part. If not, you know, you can communicate them. You can drop off a communication card at the Welcome Center and let us know you're interested if you can't attend it. But I hope you will, because I believe this with all my heart. God can change the world through a group of people like this who we say, Lord, use me. Wherever we are. So I believe this week all over Topeka, prayers are going to get answered. Hope's going to be delivered. Courage is going to be given because we're out there in the community as the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. May it be so in your life. We're going to stand and sing this morning. I love this song, 10,000 Reasons, man, lifted up to him. We are blessed today. May we go out into our community and be a blessing this morning. We're going to sing one more song and then be dismissed. Have a great week this week.